Wondering where you can get the latest news and reviews from the world of paranormal entertainment? Frank and Laura take a look at the latest happenings and break down what's new on TV and at the movies each week on Spooktacular, your paranormal entertainment roundup. Check them out by searching for Spooktacular in iTunes or head on over to Spooktacular.com. Oh yeah, be sure to bring along a friend because no one should listen alone.
I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I just, you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird or something like that.
Water supposedly will come off and listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
All right, this has been a long time in the making. Doug, it's all you, man.
Yes, it has been a long time in the making. Now, there was exactly one time. Now, I have been on Coast to Coast AM before, right? So have you?
Yeah,
Scott?
long time ago.
We were on a long time ago, and it was very interesting. There's only one time I ever actually called in.
Oh.
I called in on the first time caller line when Oliver Williams was on once. And, and I asked about the internet in the future. But anyway.
You dork.
I am such a geek.
You dork.
I am the ultra geek. Yes, I know. So this topic is definitely something that I'm extremely interested in. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Bonnie has some news real quick. 4-1, the Wings did win.
Like,
so,
kick their butts. Yeah. Holy crap.
Although there is debate over the exact date it started, on November 2nd, 2000, a person calling themselves Time Travel Zero and later John Teeter started posting on a public forum that he was a time traveler from the year 2036. One of the first things he did was post pictures of his time machine and its operation manual. As the weeks went by, more and more people began questioning him about why he was there, the physics of time travel, and his thoughts about our time. Yeah. He also posted in other forums, including the now non-existent Art Bell website.
Oh, yeah.
In his posts, John Teeter entertained, angered, frightened, and even belittled those who engaged him in conversation.
Yeah.
On March 21st, 2001, John Teeter told us he would be leaving here and returning to 2036. After that, he was never heard from again. Speculation and investigation about who was John Teeter and why he was online continues to this day. And it really does.
Does it, yeah.
The website is www.johnteeter.com. That's johnteitor.com.
Mm-hmm.
And our guest, and I have to welcome you, Oliver Williams. This is one of my topics. This is something that I have debated, something I have talked about, something I have wondered, dreamed, because this is the closest thing, I think, to Star Trek and time travel and stuff as I'm ever going to get. And time travel is definitely interesting. Oliver Williams, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you very much, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
First off, we gotta say thank you. I want to do this on the air. I want to thank you because we've been working to get you on the show here for a couple of years now, and it's been going back and forth, and we finally got you here. So we're really excited, and we know that there were some issues here also, and I just want to thank you publicly for working with us to be here and do this thing tonight. So thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. And let me know again. I'll be happy to come back whenever you want me.
Well, absolutely. Thank you very much. Now,
how did you become the expert on John Teeter?
all right. I did not become aware of the posts until probably 2002, and this was well after he had left.
Right. Yeah.
And I found out about it a lot of the ways other people did was that a friend of mine said, "Hey, you got to go to this site, this forum where this guy says he's a time traveler." So I went there and literally stayed up all night reading all the posts I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered was that there were so many posts scattered all over the internet, you couldn't really go to one spot and see what he had said because he had done it on two or three different forums. So all I did to get started was take those posts and I edited out most of what the question was. I summarized it and I stuck it on my site.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I started posting news events that started happening that sort of went along with or supported some of the things John had talked about while he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it really took off. I got a lot of email from other people. you know, I get about 10 death threats a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went back and posted pictures, and now there's also people out there now making videos about John Teeter, and we try to get as much of that stuff up on the web as we can. The problem is that I go back and forth a lot. Like, I will go for maybe a couple of months, and I won't think about it at all. And then I'll see something in the news, like, wait a minute, didn't John talk about that? And then I get all freaked out again, and I go back, and I put the stuff up on the web.
It actually sounds like something that any of us would do. I mean, you hear about something interesting, dig into it, organize it into a fashion, you know, that you would like to have seen, and boom, you know, oops, you became the expert.
Yeah, exactly. I think it sort of happened by default, but, you know, it's a roller coaster ride. You know, some days things will happen that'll really scare you and freak you out, and other days you're like, oh, okay. And, you know, it's been going up and down now for quite a few years.
Well, the thing is, you kept on it, though, and I think that's really cool. I mean, this story, we've known about it for so long, obviously. Doug is...
And we're not going to get through any of it.
We're going to do the best we can in true Ghostly Talk fashion.
But I have to say, the story fascinates me as well. And I'm sure that it fascinates a lot of listeners. It's got to fascinate, you know, just anybody who is at all interested in the future. And I think most people are. This man claims to have been from the future. And I know that you haven't actually talked to John Teeter, right? You found this after he had left. But people did. And people probably mocked him or laughed at him because I've run across characters on the internet before, you know. And I usually hold my tongue, you know, or my vicious fingers, you know, and I don't mock and things like that. But there are people out there who get brave when they're behind a keyboard.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Of course.
And they probably called him names like liar.
Ooh.
Right?
Oh. Having looked at the post now for so long, it's interesting because when he first started posting, nobody really believed anything he had to say. And that went on for a little while. And as things began to unfold, and as he told more about why he was here and what he was doing, people became very hostile. And I've always wondered why that was. Because if you believe it's a myth and it's not real, why would you get so angry about it?
Mm-hmm.
And in the later days when he finally left, I mean, there's outright hostility toward him. You know, he answered every question that was put to him. He was run through physics tests, which he passed with flying colors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting to see how it all unfolded. And, you know, when you read the post from beginning to end, it's really kind of creepy.
Oliver, one question that popped in the chat room here. Terry actually asked, and I think I've heard, I think I know the answer, but I want to ask you. I'm coming to you for this one. When John was posting on these sites, did he ever post as JT, as in the letter J and the letter T?
JT.
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of. I know he used the word, you know, he used Time Travel Zero, and then he called himself John Teeter.
Okay. So he
and the word Teeter is actually, if you read his post, it's a combination of the word time travel or. So, you know, when he posted, we knew that was not a real name.
Okay. And very interesting, too.
And it gets more complex, too, because there is, you know, Oliver, how much of this, it's a humongous, like, multi-layered story, because there is, you know, being from 2036,
mm-hmm.
right? That means there's an overlap of kind, you know, of a kind where it is within, you know, his immediate parents' lifespan.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, this is in the future, but
it's not like
the future.
2536 or something where, like, you know,
anybody here
would be his great, 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 great. No, we're talking one generation.
Yeah.
And he stated that when he was here, he stayed with his parents and the younger version of himself while he was here in 2000-2001. So he did meet himself as a boy. He had said he was born in 1998, which a lot of people now was the first year he actually showed up and then started the post 2 years later. So he would have interacted with himself when he was two or three years old.
Now, I've heard it from, you know, I'm not – I'm not debating this at all, but it's just it's something that popped in my head when you said that, that he actually met himself, a younger version of himself. I've often heard when it comes to time travel, and great, this is all theoretical, of course, but it's not good to meet yourself. You should not meet yourself. It's bad.
They always...
Do not cross the streams kind of stuff. It'll be bad, right?
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because let me lay out what the history of that has been. When John was first here, he was very explicit in explaining how time travel worked. And what he said was that the grandfather paradox is not real, it's not a problem, because you're actually traveling to a different universe that looks exactly like the one that you left. So you're not interrupting your past. What you're doing is going to another universe, and you're interacting with all the people and the events there. So what you do is isolated to where you are, and it's called the multiple universe theory. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time, this was pure science fiction. There were a couple of physicists who had presented that as a possibility, but nobody believed that was real. If you go and look today, multiple realities, not only is it considered to be a scientific fact, it is exactly the way John laid it out. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you go to our website, you will see that Stephen Hawking gave a lecture in March of this year where he basically said, a spinning black hole will allow you to take a one-way trip to an alternate reality. And that was a complete 180 from what scientists and even Stephen Hawking were saying just a couple of years ago.
I know, that's what they are.
And that,
go ahead. Sorry.
That's one of the things that makes this so creepy, is that John said this 10 years ago, and now we find out that mainstream science believes that's exactly the way it works.
I noticed that we had that in our points here, and I wanted to hit that also. That, you know, yeah, Stephen Hawking, which, as we know, he's no lightweight.
Right. Well, initially he had said, I remember reading the story where he actually had to retract something he had said earlier. He had said, you know what, it just doesn't work that way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he came out with a whole new thing, 180-degree turnaround, saying, you know, well, you know what? It could be this if you had a black hole, conveniently.
Actually, go ahead, Oliver. Sorry.
I was going to say, in addition to that, before I let you go on that one, in the posts, John said Stephen Hawking would change his mind. He said that 10 years ago.
Wow.
As somebody was arguing with him about physics and the way that mini black holes evaporate, and John said, yeah, that's true if you believe that Stephen doesn't change his mind in a few years, which is exactly what he did.
A couple questions that have popped in the chat room here, and these are getting kind of involved. That's okay, we can just discuss them. We're not here to put anybody like to grind on you or anything like that, Oliver. But I think these are kind of interesting, so I want to throw them out. One of them that came up, if I hate these chat,
it's driving me. There's so many people typing.
Quit
questions
typing.
For you,
okay, stop it. One of the things that Steve mentioned was wouldn't time travel backwards in time create Mobius loops in time, thus destroying the fabric of space-time? Now, I don't even know if any of us are qualified to answer that question, but it was an interesting question itself. I mean, do you have any comments on that, Oliver?
Yeah, I do, and it kind of goes back to, and again, I never knew anything about this until I got into the post either, so this is what my understanding is.
Okay.
That is true if it's a closed system. In other words, if you're traveling to your own universe, yeah, you would screw things up, and that's thought to be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're traveling to an alternate universe, then anything goes. You can do anything you want there, and you're not going to affect the universe you left. You're only going to affect the universe that you arrived in.
Okay.
So that's what my understanding of how that works.
So how do you get back to your own universe then? And is it
you
unchanged?
Don't.
Oh, okay.
And John said that. He said time travel is a one-way trip. If you use the time machine, you go to an alternate universe that looks almost exactly like the one you left, and then if you tried to return, you would end up in another universe that looks exactly almost like the one that you left from originally.
Very Flinders-ish.
It may be one or two atoms out of place. I mean,
right.
It would be so close that nobody would know the difference. Now, the interesting thing about that is in the last few years, scientists like John Kramer, Stephen Hawking, and Ronald Mallett have all come out and said the same thing. Time travel is a one-way trip.
Okay.
Wow.
This is... Doug, it's all
I don't want to take that trip. Well, they're asking, you know,
I'm melting down here.
The thing
yeah.
is, there's so much of this.
There's
people asking in the chat room, though, and this is really interesting because you've woken a lot of people up in the chat room.
We want, and I want to touch on some of the new stuff, but I don't want
to. There's people in the chat room who are dying to know this, and I already know the answer because I listened to the Art Bell stuff, but he came here for a reason. And it was to obtain a motherboard of an IBM computer, a mini computer. And now
well, actually, it was the whole computer.
Oh, I'm sorry, the whole computer. Yeah, but there was something about the BIOS of it or something that they needed that. And I'm sure if you just took the BIOS, you'd be fine. But, you know, he needed this computer, so he went on eBay or something and got it. But I'm wondering, did he take it back? And how did, like... If he goes back to another universe that's more like his, or his time in the universe in a different universe, and plugs it in, it works. I mean, do you think he saved his universe?
I don't know, but let me back up and clarify a couple of things that you said.
Yeah.
Yes, he did go back to get a computer, and according to him, his grandfather worked on the computer, which is one of the reasons why he was sent on the mission.
Okay.
And what they were after was, if you go back, if you go on the internet and look this thing up, it's called the IBM 5100. It was one of the first desktop computers that IBM ever made back in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
What John claimed was that this particular computer, it was able to connect it into large IBM mainframe systems and communicate with them and reprogram them, in addition to all the other things it did. But this was not a feature that IBM told anybody about, because they didn't want their customers going out and buying this computer and not needing the personnel at IBM to work on their large systems. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is that John said nobody knew about this. Only a handful of people were even aware of this. And after John had left, a couple of IBM engineers came forward and said, hey, I worked on the IBM, and he's telling the truth. We knew about that, and we were told never to tell anybody. So... if John isn't a real time traveler, somehow he knew about that feature on that computer before he went online.
Look at that picture of this thing. It's an ugly machine, I have to say. But it's obviously, it's not about the beauty. We're looking at pictures right now, and just as we're talking here, and we're looking at the machine. Let me see here. Yeah, so you've clarified that, though, Doug. I know this is...
He needed something from this one model of computer.
I know there's a lot of new stuff going on, too, but I know that we have listeners and stuff that they wanted to hear about this, you know, a lot of the meat of this thing that, you know, you've been talking about for a long time, Oliver, so thanks. We appreciate that.
Oh, no problem.
It's such a fantastic story. Go ahead, Doug.
What kinds of things did he say? And I believe that there were a couple of things that we probably have to touch on it, because I know someone either has already asked, I don't know, the chat room is scrolling, or they will ask. What kinds of things did he say that hasn't happened I don't know how to describe this question.
What, that he was wrong about?
Yeah, what has he been wrong on, or what is like he said that didn't happen the way he said it, and then how do you and he describe why something would be wrong?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got no problem. I know exactly what they're talking about.
Okay.
Good.
Basically, the biggest criticism about John right now is he made specific statements about the 2004 Olympics. He said that they weren't going to happen. He also said that a civil war was going to start in the year 2004 and 5, that the shooting would start in 2008, and that by that time everybody would be aware that the world that they were living in was finished. It was over. So a lot of people...
You nailed that one.
I think you got that right. Yeah. It's over. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people look at that and go, since we're not in the middle of a civil war and since the 2004 Olympics happened, then obviously everything he said was false. Now, you need to take this into account also. John, in his very first post, he said that R2... Now, this, of course, a lot of people look at it and go, well, this is obviously a cop-out. If you're telling a story, this is how you get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
He said that our universe was different from his by a percentage of like 2.5%. In fact, he said that Y2K happened for him in his universe and it didn't happen for us. So right off the bat, he said there are differences between our universe.
Mm-hmm.
So one way to explain this is that the differences in our universe have delayed things, have stopped things, or changed things slightly. The other explanation is that a lot of people are saying that John was right. He was either late or, for some reason, the things that he said were going to happen are a couple of years behind schedule. Okay. So that's basically the explanation for that.
Interesting. There was obviously a huge thing that happened in 2001. The 9/11 thing. Was there no hint of that? No,
he absolutely mentioned that.
Oh, well, there we go.
In 1998, John Teeter sent a fax to the Art Bell Show. It was during one of his open lines where Art was inviting time travelers to call in.
Mm-hmm.
John sent a fax to Art, which he read on the air. In the fax, John said, one of the biggest differences between your universe and mine is that there is a skyscraper missing in New York City.
Oh. Ugh.
Wow. So he did mention something like that.
My goodness. Okay. We're going to go through the break here, right?
Yeah,
Do you mind if we skip the break?
No, you need a voice break.
Do you need a break or anything, Oliver?
Hey, I'm just drinking coffee, so you let me know.
Okay. when John Teeter's posted, what was the... how many people do you think he interacted with publicly online? Like, was it 14 or was it 400? Like, obviously it was open for anybody to read and interact with him at any given moment, but how many people took him up on it and how many people, like... reacted during
time. You know, that's an interesting question. I'll tell you why. In the before 2 months ago, I would say easily a couple of hundred people in all of the forums asked him various questions. However, there is some speculation now that all of those people were in on whatever was going on, and they were all fake people interacting with John. So whoever, if this is not real, then all of those people were not real.
Okay.
And I know that sounds a little goofy, but that's one of the theories that's floating around out there now.
Well, I understand. I think I get the hang of it. We've seen very, very elaborate pranks pulled in the past, mm-hmm. right? We have. Mm-hmm. We've seen, especially, think of it. What is it, the MIT? Don't they have, like, a whole team of people who just sit there and think of pranks to play? And they took over the scoreboard at a Super Bowl one year. I mean, I don't know if that was MIT exactly, but, I mean, it was, a lot of people love to pull very elaborate pranks.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be very well within the realm of somebody.
Isn't that the whole base? That's the whole base of the hacker community, pretty much. The unethical.
Okay,
hacker community.
All right. Let me run down a list for you, because if you're correct, then let's say it's one person. Let's say it's five people. They would have to know how to draw. They would have to know how to make technical drawings. Mm-hmm. They would have to know about physics. They would have to know what was going on at CERN before it happened. They would have to know about the special feature of the IBM computer. And they would have to have such incredible insight into physics that they could guess the breakthroughs that were going to happen in 10 years. So if somebody made this up, that's the kind of person you're dealing with.
Man, that's a lot.
That's a lot to ask for.
That's a lot to ask for, yeah. Okay,
and they would have to know that Stephen Hawking would pull a 180, that somebody could describe
that's
what he's pulling.
That's prophesizing human intelligence, you know, or a human decision. And I don't even know too many.
Well, there are certain people, though, who can be fairly accurate about, you know, the way things are going, this could happen. You know, and there's people who are very accurate about it. Is somebody this accurate, though? Because he was online for how many months was he online for?
4 months, November to March.
Right, so 4 months he was putting information out. And that leads to one of the biggest questions, why? Why even go online and talk about it if all he was really to do was to come back,
get a computer,
and go?
Well, there is actually some speculation about that, and here's what it is. It is believed that when John went back to 1975... he did something which changed things enough for us in the future in the year 2000-2001. And he was here in 2000-2001 trying to correct that Or, as other people have speculated, he was trying to leave some sort of a message that wasn't intended for the people that were online answering or asking him questions. So it's felt that he was trying to get something out and leave it on the internet for some other purpose, and nobody really knows what that is.
Did, I, you know what, Oliver,
I'm letting you run with this, Doug.
Oliver, our show, this show, Ghostly Talk, is, obviously it's more than about ghosts, but, it's normally not run as question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, but when I'm really, really, really into something, I just fire away, and so
no,
I apologize
fine.
For taking
yeah, we're not trying, I know we have this list
direction.
Of things we want to talk about, but that's all right, I mean, as long as you're cool with that.
No, that's fine with me.
Well, okay. He went.
Oliver, I just enjoy watching Doug freak out like this. This is great.
Well, that's because I'm all aglow is what I am. He comes back in time. He does do what he wants to do. Yes, there's this byproduct here. All right, I'm not going to go anywhere with that. I want to totally jump track back to his family. Right?
Okay.
Obviously, as a family, he says he met with them, right? And he
right.
lived with them for a while.
Yeah.
And how would you convince your mother, like, if you went back to when you were two or three, right? How would you convince your mother that you were the, you know, 2008 version or 2009 version of yourself? How do you
well, according to John, mm-hmm. that is not very difficult at all. According to him, he basically walked up to the front door, knocked on it, the door opened, and he said, or, you know, led us to believe that his mother instantly recognized him, that she knew exactly who that was, as soon as she saw him. And this being Mother's Day, I'm not sure that wouldn't be the case. Also, you're aware, aren't you, that, you know, the family is still here,
mm-hmm.
and they now have an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
That represents them,
mm-hmm.
and they have apparently moved away from Florida, and mm-hmm. apparently they now live in Nebraska someplace, in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
But the family and that version of John, which I guess would be, 10 or 11 years old now,
yeah.
is still here, protected by this attorney.
Well, I guess another thing, just human nature itself, if somebody was to come to my, if I was a mother, which I've been called a mother.
But yeah, but in a completely different context.
If I was a mother and somebody came to my door and you know, I opened the door, hey, yes, can I help you? Yes, I am your son from the future. May I come in? Honestly, my reaction would be like, get the hell off my porch before I fire. I'd have a very hard time accepting that, Oliver.
Do you not think there might be something that you could say, maybe only something that she would know? Or maybe you had some sort of a ring or a trinket or a picture, something that you could convince your mother that you were who you said you were.
I'm just talking about my initial reaction. After I was done firing and none of the bullets hit the person, then I'd probably talk to him. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. That would be something.
Yeah, we are from Detroit.
We are from Detroit here, and that's how we react to things.
That's how we react immediately. Yeah.
No, but I just think my initial reaction would be, my brains would literally scramble. But, yeah, there would be those things, though. You're right, Oliver. I think a mother's intuition, too, would be able to see, yeah, this is my child. I know this is my child. Or there could be these things, like you said, recognizable things.
But another thing, obviously, she's so convinced, right,
yeah.
that this is true, that she, you know, she's protecting, you know, the child that,
yeah.
that will be John Teeter in that reality.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But really, that's a different John Teeter.
Pause.
Okay, I'm pausing.
Oliver, pause. I forgot to do this again, so we're going to do it right now. I'm just interjecting this real quick. Giveaway, email right now if you want this EVP CD. Giveaway right now. Send your emails in. First email takes it home, okay?
Excellent.
I'm going to push play now on Doug. Go.
Thank you. All right. So this is really a different John Teeter, but could he have affected this John Teeter that lives in our universe? In
oh,
a
absolutely.
Negative way or a positive way, like, or does it sort of come out in the wash?
Well, I mean, the speculation is that John, and this is going to sound very ridiculous and strange, that John did something that stopped Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1975, when he was at IBM tracking down his grandfather, something happened there that stopped Y2K for us. And you go, oh, that sounds ridiculous, but remember how crazy people were getting ready for something and absolutely nothing happened?
Right.
And all
right.
the experts told us, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to John, that is a bad thing for us. He said that the chaos and the war and everything that happened as a result of that was good for us. And the fact that it's not happening now, he feels guilty about. So John was not here trying to tell us everything was okay. He was here telling us we're in trouble because that conflict didn't come to us. And I think he was doing everything he could to start it up again.
Well, I think, you know, just thinking about that, yeah, nothing happened. I remember that was very uneventful, as a matter of fact, New Year's Eve for all of us, or New Year's Day at that. Maybe it was something that was supposed to happen, and it was going to be a learning thing for us, for all of us to learn as a group of people. And as a result of that not happening, we didn't learn anything.
Well,
right?
From what I understand, Oliver, in his 2036, right, he lived in sort of a nice little utopian society kind of thing. Yes, it didn't have the hot technology and the 3D LED panels and the, you know, liquid digital paper and stuff like that, but it wasn't like technology based like this. It had technology, but it was more like little enclaves of people here and there, a lot like what you would picture more of a utopia where people are friendly again and people actually interact with each other. And you don't, when somebody comes up to your house, you don't automatically, you know, shoot them and then ask questions later. You know, I mean, he lived in a very different world in his 2036 than what, if we go along our line right now, without a war, without Y2K, what I would predict for 2036 in our timeline.
Well, you know, I would agree with you. And I'll tell you, there was a story that he said while he was with his parents. He said that one night the power went off. And that when the power went off, everybody went outside and was talking to their neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he said that he was kind of shocked by this because that was the only time anybody ever interacts with anybody is when the power goes off. So his point was, and, you know, I don't know if I would call his 2036 a utopia because he was recovering from a nuclear war. People had trouble having babies. You know, he said mad cow disease ravaged, you know, a lot of people, which is why you didn't have these, you know, these mass markets of meat and grain, that everybody sort of grew their food locally because nobody trusted any of the food that they couldn't grow themselves. So I think things changed dramatically, and the reason people came together was because they had to. They had to survive, and then those created bonds with family and friends and neighbors that we just don't have anymore. And I think that was the point he was making was, you guys aren't going to see that, and that's the problem.
Ooh. Is it a problem, though? I mean, I see he thinks it was a problem, but, I mean, I don't... Is there something wrong with the way we're headed? Did he say, because of this, guys are all going to die and the planet's going to explode?
He did not trust our government at all.
Well, neither do I.
He said things are going to get progressively worse. And, you know, he pointed out, you know, this is back in 2000. He said, you know, your constitution is going to be torn away from you.
Yeah.
And there are going to be a lot of things that are going to happen that are going to get worse. And he called it the American Federal Empire is what he called it. And he said that that's actually who the Civil War was against, is that there was a huge faction of America. And if you go and take a look at the website, you'll see a lot of things that are pointing in that direction. I mean, 10 years ago, if you did a Google search, I don't even know if Google was around, if you did an Internet search for the word Civil War, you'd hardly find anything.
I think it was all
now do it. And you see hundreds of thousands of people talking about the possibility of a Civil War in the United States.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's one thing we were going to, that's one of the points we wanted to hit up on, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. We finally came around to a point we were going to talk about.
Well, no, that's cool. No, we got to it in a roundabout sort of way. So, yeah, basically the simple question here we have is Civil War in the U.S. getting closer? Well, it sounds like we're getting closer to that, Oliver.
Yeah, I mean, don't ask me. Hell, just read the newspaper. I mean, look at all the people that are buying guns and ammunition. And John even said, he said, you know, a lot of people asked us, John, should I go out and buy guns and other stuff? And he goes, no, don't do that. There's going to be plenty around when the time comes. And right now, open up any paper. You can't buy ammunition or handguns to save your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look at what some of these states are doing, passing resolutions, basically laying out their 10th Amendment rights to tell the federal government to go take a hike.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, we're going that way, obviously, and those points obviously illustrate that, too. I mean, I had a good idea of that already.
So maybe
scary.
The Y2K thing just delayed what he was talking about. And but I can see it, I guess. I don't think I'd predict that the way things are. I think the people are too, like right now, with the economy tanked, which of course is everybody's fault but mine, because that's how I view the world. I think it's squarely in government and big
people
business.
Are getting much okay. more paranoid. They really
they're paranoid about it, but they want what the government and can do for them right now.
Wait, everybody's coming on it all. Go ahead.
I got an email 2 days ago that laid this scenario out. You guys tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's like June 15th. There's going to be an election in Iran. And if Ahmadinejad comes back, Israel is going to have no choice but to strike their nuclear program. If that happens, Iran is going to shut off the Straits of Hormuz, which is basically going to stop all oil coming out of the Middle East. It is going to bring us and the rest of the Western world to its knees in about 24 hours. You tell me that's not likely to happen within the next 4 or 5 weeks. And then tell me what's going to happen after that.
I keep hoping that the Middle East will just take care of itself, but you're right. You're right. There's a lot of heavy politics going on right now over there,
Listen, I just remembered this. John even said, they asked him specifically, does the Middle East have anything to do with what's going to happen in this country? And he said, no, not directly, but he said, Israel is going to have to strike because the Western world's support of them is going to erode. He said that back in 2000,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly what's happening today.
Wow.
God.
And it could happen.
Yeah.
In a month or was it 2 months?
A couple of weeks, yeah.
Well, I'm flabbergasted.
I'm pain.
let's get into... All right.
Yeah, we're running out
you
of time.
You stayed up all night one night. Started this
yes.
whole saga going by reading, because I got to pull it back to the personal stuff, right? What do you think? Is this a wonder? Is it 50-50? Do you still go, oh, wow, this is so true, and then flip-flop back and forth? What do you think, Oliver Williams?
All right, yes, I go back and forth, but what always brings me back is that it's easy to nitpick specific things,
mm-hmm.
But, okay, if, for example, there was something that came out in physics that was definitely true, that countered what John had said, then that would be the nail in the coffin for me. But what's happening is the opposite. More and more things are coming out that are supporting what he said. So I think if you look at it in a general sense like that, it's easy to focus in on one thing, like, oh, the 2004 Olympics happened and he's wrong. But that's not what's happening. Like, 90% of what he's saying is coming to pass. And that's what I find creepy.
And it may be 97.5. I mean, it could be up to, you know, that 2.5%. What about, obviously people are interested in the story. I mean, literally the chat room lit up and people were questions. I'm sure they're still going, aren't they?
But you can see how much traffic we get from Korea.
I can believe it. And obviously I'm taking pot shots around trying to figure out the whole gamut. So people are really interested in this story, and there are people even now who are trying to track down the people that John mentioned,
yes.
the family, the
yes.
you know, everything like that. What can be gained from talking to the people who talk? I mean, obviously, you could probably learn a lot more from the people he lived with, from his younger self and his mother.
His family, yeah.
But what is that going to help anybody's situation? Is it good for us or bad for us for these folks to go run around like paparazzi?
Well, I think there are a lot of people out there that for some reason, whether this is true or not, it really, really disturbs them
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. Either they don't want to believe it's true or they can't believe so many people believe it's a possibility. So they are spending a lot of time going around trying to figure out who might be behind this. And if you go to, I think the link is on our site now, there is a film company in Orlando, Florida called Eyes Views Productions, I think is the name of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is they're going to the posts and they're taking advice from the people that actually interacted with John, and they're going around Florida videotaping the places John said he was, and the proof or the counterproof that these people say was, you know, proves he exists or doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And they've got a video blog up now where they're laying out the episodes of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I just think that for some reason this gets to people's core. You know, it's like going down the rabbit hole. It's, you know, it's like finding out if Bigfoot is real. For some reason, people just latch onto this and it drives them crazy. Like me.
Well, yeah, and me, it drives me up a wall because I just want to know, is this real? Was John Teeter, you know, was this what he said it was? You know, was it somebody from 2036 on a mission? I want to know, you know.
Let me give you some, you know, another perspective, and John said this also. If you were a time traveler and you had a time machine, think about how difficult it would be to convince anybody that you were real. Because what people say is, when they say, prove to me you're a time traveler, what they're really saying is, I want to go for a ride in your time machine. Because even if they looked at it, even if they touched it and it had lots of blinky lights, they're still not going to believe you. The only way to prove to somebody that time travel is real is for them to time travel themselves. Mm-hmm. And the irony of that is that since you go to another universe, you're not going to be able to talk to any of the people to convince them anyway.
Yeah, you can't come. Okay. I'm
you
sorry.
Can't come back. So now you have the same dilemma. You are now the time traveler who has to convince somebody you're a time traveler.
Hence, what's tripping me out right now about this is how similar this idea of time travel is to the afterlife. Because it's the same thing when you think about
it. The afterlife is right
now.
We
all want to know what the afterlife is, but to truly find out, you can't tell anybody. I mean, we have people that are sensitive that they can get messages, and they might. Let's be frank. I have not gotten a black and white piece
picture
of evidence telling
of
me what's yeah. going on in the afterlife, right? It's the same thing when you think about it, Oliver.
Yeah, I mean, look at going to the moon. There are a huge number of people that don't believe we did that.
Okay.
You can show them the spacecraft. You can show them the launch pad, and they still don't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you took them up there and showed them the footprint or something and then actually showed them around.
I think the idea of time travel, I mean, as a general statement, the idea of time travel is, I mean, in all the stuff we study that's considered paranormal, whatever you want to call it, time travel is just one of those things that there's been volumes and volumes of books, whether it's sci-fi, nonfiction type books written, whatever it may be, written on the subject. It's one of those subjects that really gets to people's core.
And it's also very scientific seeming, which is just amazing.
Well, and then someone like John Teeter comes along and says, yeah, listen, I'm a time traveler. I'm here to take care of it. I got to pick up this machine. I'm a really happening guy. I got stuff to do. I'm on the move here. Here's what's up. And then everybody freaks out. He goes, what the hell, right?
What about other time travelers? I mean, because Art Bell, on the Art Bell show,
mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm,
used to do an open line, whatever, I think he would take the first time caller line and convert it into a special purpose line, and sometimes it's time travel.
Boy, well,
sometimes it's
yep.
I've seen a ghost. Sometimes, you know, so it's a different purpose line.
Mm-hmm.
But he did have several shows, and I think George Norrie had a couple even on, you know, Coast to Coast
yep.
AM
yep.
where he takes it and he makes it another line. You know, there's other people who've called in, I'm sure, and The only one that I'm familiar with was actually, I think it was Ian Punnett was doing the show, and some lady called in and said I was a, or I don't know if it was a lady or a guy, I don't remember, but
yeah.
I remember the story in general, and working as a cashier at a gas late night gas station, somebody came in and very, very old, not obviously from 2036, but from more like 1936
mm-hmm.
or 1836 garb, and handed her money that just was like ancient, you know, it was not current money.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I remember that, but the other people have to have called in or claimed to be time travelers on the internet. Oliver, have any of them, first of all, are you interested in any of them? And second of all, have any of them mentioned John Teeter?
Not that I'm aware of. And as far as being interested in them, boy, that's a good question, because all the other time travel, you know, testimonials, I guess I'll call them, that I listen to, they don't click for me. You know, there always seems to be something that makes you go, oh, okay, well, wait a minute, that just pulls the chair out from under you. And I'm looking for that with John, and I can't find it. And I think that's what keeps me going, is that, you know, here's the phenomenon. The thing is, I'll forget about it for a couple of months, and then I'm literally watching the news. In fact, here's a good example. Michio Kaku, mm-hmm. about a month ago, was on the news saying how there is now evidence that when CERN turns on and tries to make these black holes, there is an ever so slight possibility that that would be a danger,
mm-hmm.
that it could be a problem. And they were telling us for years, there's no way that's true, that's all bull.
Mm-hmm.
And yet John said the very same thing. He said, that's the power source for my time machine. They're going to discover it at CERN. They're going to figure out a way to capture it and to control its size.
Mm-hmm.
And now Michio Kaku comes on and goes, okay, yeah, there is a slight possibility that might be true.
Well,
and then that's what keeps me going.
Doug,
help. Well,
I'm melting
it's
down.
True. I mean, one of the things that they said, just, you know, before they turned on the CERN particle accelerator was,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, well, you know, looks like tomorrow is going to be the last day because they're going to make a unintentionally make a black hole and we're going to all be sucked into each other and we're going to be one little not even
kinda like,
dot.
Kind of like a big sham wow. It's going to suck us all
yes,
up.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
pretty much.
Right.
Like a gigantic universal sham wow. We're all going to be sucked into each other and boom. You
forget
know,
it. Yeah, we're done.
End of
yeah.
time for us.
Okay.
And so I do remember those days. And
mm-hmm.
So that is something that definitely scientists said could happen.
And this isn't
and
sustainable. We're talking about a sustainable mini black hole.
Well, I don't think it even
right.
had to. I don't think it even had to. It only has to exist for a, you know, like a fire. Sometimes you can start your, you know, charcoal grill.
Yeah.
And the charcoal doesn't catch. So you've
got
to do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Eventually the charcoal will catch and you can cook your steaks.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Or hot dogs or whatever you're having that day.
Okay.
But the, you know, maybe it just has to be that one mini black hole that that catches and suddenly sucks everything in.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know.
You know, and when John said this, you know, back in 2000, everybody said, oh, there's no way that can happen. It's ridiculous. And then 6 months later, CERN announces, oh, yeah, we think we might be able to make a black hole. Oh, but they'll never be able to capture it. Oh, it's not a danger. And now 10 years later, oh, yeah, it might be a problem.
Well, yeah.
We've got to watch out for that. Yeah, that mini black hole. So at least there wasn't a flux capacitor involved, right? Or was there?
No,
no.
I'd say here's something else. Keep your eye on this. John said that the way that you capture it is by applying an electric charge to the black hole and getting it to spin. He said those are the two conditions to be able to capture it.
Wow.
Okay. Well.
All of this in a message board.
Well, that really kind of catches me off guard on that. I mean, or just kind of, it's weird, Oliver. I'm sure there's a reason that, you know, if this gentleman was from the future, and he wanted to communicate with us and let us know, hey, look, I'm here. This is what's going on. Here's some things that are going to happen. Why would he pick a message board? Couldn't there be some other form of communication? Could he? Well, I guess if he was to, well, he went to his family. He went and stayed with his family, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just wondering why he picked a message board for this form of
communication. Well, look, I mean, think about it. How better back in the year 1998, 2000 to say something that people will be talking about 10 years later? How would you do it?
Actually, yeah. Come to think of it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's still things that were, I mean, there's phenomena that was born on message boards 10 years ago.
There was there an X-Files or some other kind of thing inspired by the John Titor story?
Gee, not that I'm aware of, but I can't say that's not true, but
see,
not that I'm aware of.
I just have this, what's going on in my head is a movie or an episode or something of some show that I sat and watched. And I just seem to remember the agents or whatever are going after a guy who's posting on message boards on his computer in a run-down, closed, like, manufacturing plant with plastic on the windows
mm-hmm,
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there was something probably based on this, loosely, obviously, based on this story.
Well, sounds like my house.
Here's another question that dropped in, actually, too. We only got a couple more minutes here. Is there DNA testing? That's all I'm getting here is DNA testing. Was there anything it mentioned about that?
Did he leave anything behind?
Yeah.
Did he leave anything behind? I mean, he might have left something with his family, but nothing that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And as far as DNA testing, you mean like would they have the same DNA? They probably would, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, I guess that maybe that's I guess maybe DNA testing what the future of it is, or if he left any type of DNA behind. I mean,
would it be the like if you took a hair of his, if he brushed his hair at all while he was here, and then DNA tested him and the current John Teeter,
time traveler. He doesn't have any hair. He's a time traveler, Doug.
Yeah, I would imagine the DNA would probably be the same.
And along those lines, what about fingerprints? Do you think the two of them had identical fingerprints, although one would be smaller?
Sure, they would have to if they're the same
person. Is it
probably
the same person, or is it different?
All right. Go ahead.
I have an explanation for that. According to physics, you know, there are an infinite number of realities or multiple universes.
Mm-hmm.
And every possibility, every quantum state, every outcome, there is a universe where that occurs. So, yes, there would be a universe where there are two John Teeters, but the only thing that would be different is that they have different fingerprints. Now, if you measured the divergence between them, maybe they're 50% different.
Mm-hmm.
And according to John, that's not the way you want to travel in time. You want to keep that divergence small so that the universe you arrive in looks pretty much like the one you left.
Yeah, okay.
With only minutes to go, I want to ask, was he possibly the wrong person to be traveling in time to grab this? Like, if he did make a mistake and change the course of the universe that he went to initially to search for his grandfather,
mm-hmm.
do you think maybe and then he felt guilty about it, right, obviously. And so was he the wrong person? Should maybe he or they or whoever decided to send him back should they have chosen someone else?
You know what? According to John, he did not feel guilty at all about changing our timeline. In fact, if we're living on a timeline now that was changed by a time traveler, his superiors or the people in his time or he himself, they don't give a hoot about us. In fact, according to John, they blame us for a lot of the problems they have, so they could care less what happens to us. John himself, as a result of interacting with his grandfather, according to him,
mm-hmm.
felt guilty. He went counter to what his orders were. So the only reason we know about him at all is because he felt something for us, or his parents, or his mom, or himself, that he wanted to fix when he was here in 2000.
Fantastic.
Wow.
And I apologize to listeners and you also, Oliver, of humming and hawing through this almost entire interview, because this is one of those subjects where when I get hit. Doug is much more, he can get into it, where I just kind of sit. I'm a crappy radio show host, actually.
Well, unfortunately,
I'm just like, oh my God, this is mind over.
I was just all over the map.
This is a fantastic
There's so
story.
Many things that I just absolutely adore about this, and I'm sure that you ran into that before.
And I know we've been working to get together on the show here for a very long time, Oliver. And again, I thank you so much for coming and joining us. It's been great, and hopefully we can do it again. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, call me when you want me to come on again, or I'll send you an email if something really weird happens, but I love doing it.
Hang tight for 1 second. Don't leave just yet, okay, Oliver? We're just going to close the show out. Hang tight.
Excellent. You guys, I want everybody to go visit www.johnteeter.com, johnteeter.com,
mm-hmm.
for more information on this story, which is just absolutely incredible. It blows my mind every time I think of it, and I love hearing Oliver Williams on Coast to Coast.
Yeah. Oliver's the man.
Amazing stuff. Before that, we had Mark Kimmel, Cosmic Paradigm.
Thanks for joining us again, Mark. We appreciate it.
What an amazing, amazing future.
Yeah, this is
a
heavy show. Yeah, we covered a lot of ground on this show, man. Wow.
Bonnie Vent and John Strife started it off with just a...
Yeah, where are you going to hear about Thomas Edison and John Teeter in one show? You're not going to hear that anymore.
Totally, totally rocked. You guys, thank you, everybody, for listening. But we do have to close the show so the next show on the air can get on. So I don't even know what's on air for next week. I didn't even print it out. So go to www.ghostlytalk.com. Wherever we are. Ghostlytalk.com for more information.
Yeah.
Until next week, I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L., and we'll see you guys next week.